This week we had a parish mission. Monsignor Pope shared how about the sermon in the homily. He said, he quoted a Protestant scripture scholar, William Barclay, who said that over half of the success of the homily depends upon the listener, the people. So that's why I can tell you tonight that this is going to be a great homily, because more depends upon you than me. And I think there's something to reflect upon about that. St. Teresa of Avila said she never heard a homily or a sermon that she didn't profit from or get something out of. And it wasn't because she heard outstanding preachers all the time. It's because she was open and disposed and listening to the Lord, because the Lord was speaking to the preacher. And so for us to have an open ear, an open heart, what is the Lord speaking to me today through the scriptures? And now as we reflect more deeply and have a more intimate conversation in the homily. So some strong, strong teaching here in the gospel today. Divorce, adultery, taking the commandments and really going to the next level. You know, it was said to you before, you shall not murder. I tell you, even if you have an angry thought against your neighbor, you've committed murder against him in his heart. So it's like Jesus doesn't come and lower the bar. Jesus raises the bar, right? And so often we hear about how, you know, would Jesus do that? He wouldn't be upset with that. You know, he wouldn't judge here. And that is really just contrary to the Word of God, if we're really taking the Word of God serious. And so here we hear from Sirach, powerful teaching. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. If you choose, you can keep the commandments and they will save you. Let's just break that down a little bit. First of all, well, duh, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. It's kind of actually a refreshing word in the sense that sometimes we get caught up in the muck of our sin and our habits, and we find ourselves feeling paralyzed, a paralysis has set in, we're not making any progress. And just to hear, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. That's kind of refreshing. It's like the, you know, a kid who's, you know, doesn't know if they can, you know, complete a certain task or do a certain activity on the field or sports, and the coach says, you could do this. And how does that move the kid? He goes from thinking he can't do it to somebody believing in him, and what? He's empowered, and now he's able to move forward. He's got confidence, right? So Sirach is really saying, you could do this. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. You don't have to be. We don't have to be stuck in the mud when it comes to the moral life and following the Lord. And they will save you. And they will save you. Well, think in the Old Testament, we're really not talking about eternal life yet, as far as heaven and hell. There's a semblance, in some sense, it's just beginning to be a blip on the radar as far as eternal life. That doesn't come to culmination until Jesus. So when he's saying, and you will live, he's saying that there's going to be blessings, good things that happen to you now. And so what Sirach is doing is he is making a real connection between what you do and what happens to you. That if you pick one end of the stick up, you pick the other end of the stick up. If you act in a particular way, there's going to be results, consequences. So Sirach says what? He sets before you fire and water. Whichever you choose, stretch out your hand. So fire represents a punishment and hurt. Water is something soothing. So what happens if you can choose between fire and water, and you reach out your hand, and that's what you're going to get. So, you know, really when it gets down to it, a lot of our own misery, not all of it, but a lot of our own misery comes from our choices. I mean, that is really the teaching here. And the Lord has come to give us freedom, right? And so sometimes we look at God's commandments as these external, you know, requirements that we are to follow, and they have really nothing to do with our personal happiness, the blessedness that we experience. We just have to conform. So, you know, commandments limit our freedom. So they're not. And if we look at them like that, there's no inspiration really there, is there? It's like, if there's something that's not going to make us happy, but just rules that are put in place, and then I have to follow them, you know, I have external conformity, but internally, I'm rebelling, right? My heart is not there. So to consider that what we do directly is connected to what we experience, the happiness, the sadness, the hurt, the pain, the joy. Last Sunday, my family got together for the Super Bowl, and so all but five of my nieces and nephews were there. And so there's kids running everywhere. My sister made chocolate chip cookies. I'm not supposed to be eating chocolate chip cookies because I'm pre-diabetic. Okay, so I've been doing good for a couple weeks, but my sister Christine, she is a baker. I mean, she's good. Okay, and so, well, I had one, then I had two, and then I was taking two at a time. I had over 10, okay? I'm not proud of that fact, but okay, within 15 minutes, I started feeling like garbage. I was there on the couch, you know, everybody's interacting, having fun. I didn't want to, I could not engage. I'm thinking about, I just wanted to go home and just relax and lay down. There's kids running everywhere. I'm getting annoyed. I'm not enjoying the game. God was setting me up to prepare for this homily because it was like, I was able to see that my actions resulted in a particular experience, right? That I chose fire. I reached out and chose fire. So this is very, very important, and we've lost a sense of this in our day and age because what people have done is decoupled the relationship between what we do and consequences that may follow. Does that make sense? So you can live however you want, and there's not going to be any kind of effect. So tomorrow is World Marriage Day, and so we're going to do a special blessing for couples at the end of Mass. But think about that in when it comes to the married life. Right now, people don't even know what the commandments are when it comes to marriage. You know, and society is the current thought in society is it doesn't matter if it's one woman or one man. Or if it's one man and one man, or, you know, getting to the point, maybe even three or four people, and getting into gender identity. There's over 50 different gender types, you know, that are put out there. And so, like, there's absolute cloudiness in regards to, well, you know, we don't want to impose our beliefs on anyone else. You know, they should be free to do whatever they want to do. And that won't interfere, as long as it don't interfere with my life, and I have to be nice about this. I mean, and if you stand up and say anything contrary to that, you know, watch out, because that is a strong belief that is permeating through our society. So we've lost even a sense of kind of like what the commandments are at the basic level. You know, and Jesus talking about marriage, there is clarity. If we go to the Word of God, it is absolutely clear how God made human beings, what He destined and designed them for. Does that mean because we recognize that there are commandments of God that we don't have charity and mercy and we walk with our brothers and sisters? Of course that's what we do. I mean, that's the life of a priest. We constantly walk with those who struggle with divorce and same-sex attraction and all the different struggles. That's my job. I live for that. I love to do that. We're all wounded. But there's a certain sickness that enters in when we don't even recognize that there's something off. That the answer is, instead of walking with people and leading them into life, we're just stamping approval on it, and then it's all going to be okay and go away. Well, according to Sirach, the way we live is going to have particular consequences in society and in our lives as far as joy and suffering. And so what the scriptures say is it does matter. I want to end with this. Some year, you know, in 1917, you're all familiar with the apparitions of Fatima. That's one of the first things that we learned about when I was in CCD back then. I didn't go to a Catholic school. And this year, 2017, is the 100th anniversary of the apparitions of Fatima. So very special, a special year in regards to that private revelation. But you know, there were three children. Two of them died early on in youth. Lucia became a nun and lived for probably, I don't know how, I mean, 80s or 90s. And Monsignor Caffara, he started the Institute for Marriage and Family. And As he was getting this going, he had a real devotion to Our Lady of Fatima. So Lucia was still alive. So he wrote a letter just asking for her prayers. So he asked for her prayers. He didn't expect to receive anything back. But Lucia, Sister Lucia, wrote him back. And she says, this matter is very close to my heart because in a certain year that Our Lady revealed to her that the last battle, the last tribulation would be about marriage and family. That would be about marriage and family. Wow. But that her Immaculate Heart would triumph. So there's a lot here to digest, I realize. And these are strong words that I'm offering out here. And what I'm inviting you to do is, I'm not imposing this on anyone, but I'm inviting the conversation. In the end, who determines the way that we live? Does society and the habits and beliefs of society inform the way of our way of life and inform our religion? Or does our religion inform and direct the way that we believe and the way that we live? If you choose, you can keep the commandments and you will live.